Now, we're looking at Luke chapter 12 one more time, and we'll have several messages from this chapter. It has 59 verses, but no need to be in a hurry. No need to be in a hurry. Luke chapter 12, I want to bring a message, Lord willing, from verse 8, and my intentions is to finish with verse 12. Not sure that I'll get that far, but we'll see what happens. Now, I'm entitling the message from what is said in verse 8, what the Lord declares here in verse 8, confessing Christ before men. Confessing Christ before men. Also, I say unto you, whosoever, that's a big word, isn't it? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels and before God Almighty, confessing the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? What is involved in confessing the Lord Jesus Christ? We read just a moment ago from Romans chapter 10 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, confessing the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what saving faith is blessed to do. Confess the Lord Jesus Christ. The faith of God's elect is never ashamed of God our Savior. The faith of God's elect is never ashamed of the Christ of God, but always ready, willing, and able to confess Him and to own Him. As the Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We sang just a moment ago in that chorus from that song, come from 2 Timothy 1:12, almost word for word. Let me read that verse to you. For the which cause, Paul said, I suffer these things, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. What has saving faith committed unto Christ? Everything. Everything in salvation is committed to Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. He saves us by His grace. So, look at verse 8 and 9. I say unto you, Luke 12, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. That is, if we own Him, He will own us. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. So we see here the importance the Lord Jesus Christ puts upon confessing him as all of our salvation. Now it is an issue in salvation to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not saved by confessing him. But saving faith does own him as all of our salvation. Now, what is involved in this confessing Christ? Well, let me tell you what it's not, first of all. This is not making a mere religious profession before men. Now, everybody has some sort of religious profession before men. I think there is a distinction between profession of religion and confessing the Lord Jesus Christ. In my 65 years, in the last 35 years of being a public minister, I've never met a person that did not have some flimsy hope or a false refuge of lies to hide in of some kind. Not one time. And I've met a lot of people. In the 35 years that I've conducted a public ministry, I've talked to a lot of people, and I've never talked to one person that did not have some kind of hope. Even if his hope was the fact that he didn't have a hope. He was hiding in some sort of refuge of lies So this is not just making a mere profession of religion. Most people have done that many times and are doing that. This confession of the Lord Jesus Christ is to take sides with Him against ourselves. This confession of Christ is to line up with Him. It's to take sides with Him. It's to be one with Him in that covenant of grace. And it is to be found in Him. And it's to take a public stand for Christ. As the Apostle Jude says, that we are to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Now, you can't contend for the faith if you don't confess the Lord Jesus Christ as all your hope. Also, this confessing the Lord Jesus Christ also confesses that all else but Christ is nothing but religious tradition and religious rubbish. That is, the believer's hope is the Lord Jesus Christ only and always, not in feelings. Well, I feel like I'm saved today. Well, next week, tomorrow I'll probably feel like I'm not. Aren't you glad it's not based upon feelings, but rather the faith that God gives us? This confessing the Lord Jesus Christ is counting everything else lost, dung, and ruined, that we may win Christ and be found in Him. Now notice carefully what it says in Luke 12, verse 8. Whosoever shall confess me. You see that? Now this is not just confession. This is just not a profession. This is confessing the Christ of God. Whosoever shall confess me before men. Now, this is confessing the Christ of God. It's owning Him as the Christ of the Bible. Owns Him as all in salvation. This confessing Christ is to trust Him. Is to commit all of our salvation to Him. Is to come to Him by faith continually, looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, looking to Him to provide all things for us in salvation. As the Apostle Paul said, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory through the Lord Jesus Christ. The gift of faith is a permanent gift. Did you know that? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from God. And we know that faith is a gift of God. The gift of faith is a gift of God, is a permanent gift. It's a perpetual gift. A believer never stops believing. A believer never stops confessing the Lord Jesus Christ and looking to Him. It's a permanent gift, this gift of faith. It's a perpetual gift, ongoing, to whom coming, looking. It is a perfect gift. Everything God gives is perfect, is it not? That never stops confessing, coming, and looking to the Lord Jesus Christ as all of our hope. Whosoever shall confess me before men. Now, I love that word, whosoever. It's a big word, isn't it? It's a wide word. I'm one of those whosoever, by the grace of God, that does call upon Him for all of salvation. True faith, then, the faith of God's elect, confesses. Now, I've jotted down these five things. The true faith of God, the faith of God, God's elect, confesses and trusts the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, His person, who He is. Now, who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Some say He's a prophet, just a prophet. Some say He was a historical figure. Some say He was a teacher, a healer. Whom do you say that the Lord Jesus Christ is? He's the Christ of God. He's the Christ of God. So true faith confesses His person as God. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Plainly as I can tell you, He is God manifest in the flesh. He's called God our Savior. So we trust Him in the deity of His character. The deity of His character is that He is the eternal God. He is the holy God. He is the immutable God. He never changes in His character. Saving faith confesses who He is. We own Him as our God and as our Savior. The Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. The Apostle Paul put it this way, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. True faith confesses His person, who He is. We own Him as God, our Savior, the God-man mediator. There's just one. There's not another, is there? There's one God and one mediator between God and men. That is the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, true faith confesses the Lord Jesus Christ as the God-man mediator who actually came and accomplished our salvation. That's what saving faith confesses, that the Lord Jesus Christ actually came and redeemed His people from their sin with His own blood. Now, never think of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to try to save His people. He didn't put all men everywhere in a position that they might be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ came and actually accomplished their salvation. He put away their sin by the sacrifice of Himself. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our sin. The faith of God's elect confesses that the Lord Jesus Christ put away all the sin of God's elect. None for whom He died, none for whom He died can perish. There's no one in hell, nor will there ever be anyone in hell that eternally perishes for whom the Lord Jesus Christ put away their sin. That cannot be. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. He laid down His life for His sheep. In other words, we confess His atonement was effectual to accomplish God's purpose in the completion of our salvation. He obtained for us eternal redemption with His own blood. That's what we confess, don't we? His person, who He is, and His work, what He did. He is our high priest who actually put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Thirdly, we also confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is part of our salvation. Now, you'd be upset if I said that, didn't you? And meant it. The Lord Jesus Christ is not part of our salvation. He's no part Savior. He's all our salvation. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in Christ we stand complete. He's no part Savior, part-time Savior. He's no half Savior. True faith confesses the Lord Jesus Christ as all of our salvation. Salvation's in a person. He that hath the Son hath life. It's looking to Christ. True faith confesses the Lord Jesus Christ as our all and all. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man come to the Father but by and through me. We confess that. Neither is there salvation in any other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's everything in our salvation. That's what true faith confesses. We confess Christ as all of our salvation. Fourthly, we confess the Lord Jesus Christ as all of our righteousness before God. Now, we read that just a moment ago in Romans 10, remember? He said, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You see, the believer confesses that he's not trying to earn a righteousness or establish a righteousness by what he does or what he does not do. True faith confesses the Lord Jesus Christ as all of our righteousness that justifies us before God. Now, did you get a hold of that? Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. You mean God gives me a complete justifying righteousness and I don't do one thing? That's what I'm saying. He freely gives us all spiritual blessing because it pleases Him to do so. Saving faith confesses the Lord Jesus Christ as all of our righteousness. Now, you know this scripture very well. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Most of you could quote it. God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. That's the righteousness that's revealed in the gospel. Christ our righteousness. The righteousness which is of God. That's the righteousness we enjoy. Saving faith confesses Christ as all our righteousness. Jeremiah said He's the Lord. He's the Lord, our righteousness. Now, fifthly, we also confess, this is what saving faith does, the faith of God's elect. We also confess His absolute sovereign lordship over us. That is, we bow to His authority over us. We confess that He is Lord. He's Lord in heaven and earth. Of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. We bow to His absolute sovereignty in creation, in providence, and in salvation. He's sovereign in creation, sovereign in providence, sovereign in salvation. Is that right? That's what the Word teaches. He's hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. The Lord prayed in John 17, Father, you've given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given to me. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God who shows mercy. We confess that He is sovereign in salvation, and we bow to His lordship. Here's a good confession I like to read. Thomas said this, when the Lord, risen Lord, appeared before him, and Thomas said, my Lord and my God. That's my confession. That's my confession. That's my name too, Thomas. Thomas. And every believer confesses that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's what we confess. We own His lordship. Now notice, true confession of the Lord Jesus Christ is not private. He says, whosoever shall confess me before men. Now that's what we're all doing here today. We're confessing the Lord Jesus Christ as all of our salvation. We confess Him before men. That is, we own Him publicly. Now, let me ask you this. How do we as believers confess the Lord Jesus Christ as all of our hope before men? Well, let me give you this. The scriptural way to confess Him before men publicly is by identifying with Him in believer's baptism. Now, baptism is not salvation. Baptism is not essential to salvation. But baptism is essential to obedience to the Lord's command. Whosoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Baptism is not salvation or regeneration, but it is the way that God has ordained for us to confess Him publicly. And we see that all the way through the book of Acts. We see in the book of Acts, we see Peter and Paul and Stephen and others, Philip, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when God blessed the word to those hearers, what did they do? They confessed the Lord Jesus Christ that God had done saved them already. Paul didn't say, now you be baptized and you'll be saved. No, he said, be baptized because you have been saved. Now, I want to take a little bit of time and I want to look at this morning. If you'll turn to the book of Acts chapter 2. The book of Acts chapter 2. And we see this pattern set forth. There is the preaching of the gospel. You remember what we read just a moment ago? How then shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? There's got to be the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the word of the Lord. Now turn to Acts chapter 2. You know, this is Peter's sermon at Pentecost, and he declared the lordship of Christ. He declared the effectual atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter preached the gospel. He said in verse 36 of Acts 2, "Now therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus whom you crucified, God had made him both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, what did they hear? They heard the gospel. They were pricked in their heart. That's conviction of sin. That's repentance. It's a gift of God. And Peter said, Peter and the rest of the apostles and the brethren, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?" As to do something to obtain salvation, Peter said, you don't need to do anything, but repent. That's the gift of God. "And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." Now that word "for" can be rightly rendered "because the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now look at verse 39. "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." They heard the gospel. They were granted repentance, conviction of sin. They confessed that they were sinners. God gave them faith, and then they received the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and confessed Him in believer's baptism, confessing that their sin had been remitted by the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me give you another example. Turn to the book of Acts chapter 8. Philip was sent to one man, a eunuch, from Ethiopia. And he was returning from Jerusalem, and he was reading Isaiah, the prophet, Isaiah 53, Acts chapter 8, verse 32. Peter said in verse 31, "How can I except some man guide me?" That is, do you understand what you're reading? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before her shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man?" Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they went on their way, they came to water, a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized?" Now notice the answer. Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." That's what we confess, His deity, the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, but he went on his way rejoicing. So what happened? God sent a preacher. He preached the gospel. The eunuch was granted repentance, granted faith, and he confessed the Lord Jesus Christ in believer baptism. Now, let me give you a third example. In Acts chapter 10, here we have Peter being sent to a Gentile named Cornelius. In Acts chapter 10, Cornelius declared, "We all here present before God," verse 33, "to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." There's the preaching of the word, the preaching of the gospel. Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of the truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person, but in every nation that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. And the word which God sent in the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ," that he's Lord of all. There's the preaching of the gospel. Now, look at verse 44 in Acts 10. "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word." The Holy Ghost wrought conviction, wrought repentance, wrought faith in their heart. They of the circumcision, that is the Jews which believed, were astonished, as many came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was also poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit is faith and repentance, conviction of sin. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them. You see, baptism for believers is not optional. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then prayed they, and he tarried with them certain days. Now here's the fourth example. Turn to Acts 16. We confess him with our mouth. We confess him in believer's baptism. And then we also confess him in our conduct as believers living in this world. Now in Acts chapter 16, you're familiar with the story here. Paul and Silas had been put in jail for preaching the gospel. Acts 16, 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. Then suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." Then he called for a light, sprang in, came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs," now here's what the jailer said, "what must I do to be saved?" And Paul corrected him. Verse 31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." So the gospel here again, the gospel was preached. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all them that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripe, and was baptized, he and all his house, straightway. And he brought them into his house, set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Now there's a pattern set forth. The preaching of the gospel, the sending of God the Holy Spirit in conviction and granting faith, and then there's the confessing the Lord Jesus Christ, identification with him by believer baptism. So there is confessing of him sincerely by faith with the mouth, confessing the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism, and then confessing him always in our conduct and conversation before men. Now let me read you this in Philippians chapter 1. "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, standing for the gospel, with one mind," that is the mind of Christ, "to glorify God, striving together for the faith of the gospel." That's what saving faith confesses. Now, turn back to Luke chapter 12 and we'll end with verse 9. I'll deal with this second part of this about the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. We'll look at that next time. But here's the flip side of confessing Christ. The flip side of that is to deny him before men. You see that? "But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before God and the angels of God." Now here's a horrible flip side, is it not? Now, I want you to hold your place there and find John chapter 12. I want you to see this, John chapter 12. Saving faith never denies the Lord. Not in his character, not in his person. Now in John chapter 12, look at verse 41. "These things said Isaiah, when he saw his glory, he spake of him." This is Isaiah 6. He confessed him. He confessed and owned him. Now look at John 12, 42. I want you to see this. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They would not confess Christ as all their hope of salvation. They were ashamed to do so. Now, those who deny him, those who disown him as the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord will disown them in that last day of judgment. Those who live denying him and die in their sin denying him will forever be separated from the love of God which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the Lord said in Matthew 7, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you." You see, the Lord said, if you believe not that I am, you'll die in your sin. If you believe not that I am God, you'll die in your sin. And know this, if you die in your sins, you'll be raised in your sins, you'll be judged in your sin, and forever condemned in your sin. May God give us grace in our heart to confess the Lord Jesus Christ as all of our salvation. Let's read those two verses one more time. Luke chapter 12, verse 8 and 9. "Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess." You're mine. You're one of mine. You're one of the sheep for whom I died. Before the angels of God. Before the angels of God. Hold your place there. Let me just read this to you, this scripture. "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, when he shall separate the sheep from the goats, the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. But he that denieth me before men, he that denieth me before men shall be denied before my Father. I never knew you." It's a serious matter, isn't it? I confess him now as all my salvation. And I pray that God will give you grace to confess him as well.